In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some years ago, there was a popular movie called Amadeus. It was the story of the composer Mozart. And there was a scene in that movie that has stuck in my head for years. Mozart had just composed a new opera. It was entirely wonderful. It was performed for the first time in the Vienna Opera House to wild applause and acclamation. The prince in Austria, Franz Joseph, was there, and as was the custom, he went backstage after the opera and made all of those comments that you would normally make in that kind of a time. It was really wonderful, and I really enjoyed it, and all of those things. But for Mozart, that wasn't enough. Mozart kept pushing, saying things like, well, what did you really think? Give me your true opinion. And so finally, the prince, who I understand was tone deaf, was actually pushed to the wall. And he finally looked at Mozart and said, it has too many notes. Too many notes. The ear can only hear so many notes in any given evening. And so your opera has just too many. That's kind of the way I feel about Palm Sunday. There are just too many notes. We have the heights, the joy, and the excitement, and all that goes on in Jerusalem as Jesus comes in. Jesus on a colt, the disciples throwing their cloaks on the ground. A wonderful, exciting time. And then, just a few minutes later, we are plunged into the depths of despair. The frightening and violent story of the crucifixion. There are four gospel accounts of this story. And we are accustomed, I think, to making them one, to conflating them all together and getting all the pieces in. Maybe it's because we've heard them so many times. Or perhaps it's because we've seen one of the many Hollywood depictions, The Robe with Richard Burton, or maybe Mel Gibson's The Passion of Christ. But there are four accounts, and for good reason. Because each evangelist saw certain pieces of this story as important for themselves and for their community of faith. And so each year in Holy Week, the events of Holy Week are read to us from a different gospel. This year we have Luke. Now Luke is thought to be writing to a Gentile audience, maybe an audience much like the one here today. I want to select one theme, one note, if you will, to share with you out of all of this gospel. That note is sounded as Jesus is hanging in pain on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This prayer of Jesus to God is found only in the Gospel of Luke. Now, among Bible scholars, there is much discussion as to whether Luke actually wrote this, or was it added later. There's much debate as to who the they are in Father, Forgive Them, and exactly what it is they did or did not know. But for our purposes, I don't think it matters. For Jesus' life and his ministry, and especially as it was told by Luke, was all about faith and healing, about forgiveness and love. And all of those things are summed up in this prayer. And so it makes perfect sense that it exists. We could restate that prayer and find it on our own lips. Father, forgive us. Whether we know what we do or not. For we are all in need of forgiveness. Now, Luke tells several stories about forgiveness in his account of the life and ministry of Jesus. And I want to focus on just one of them. It comes early in Jesus' ministry. There's a great crowd gathered. They've come to hear this new teacher. He seems to be the fashion or fad right now. And so they come to a small house in a little village and crowd inside. And there are still too many more, so they spill out into the courtyard and kind of push and shove to get as close as they can get. The crowd is intent, listening hungrily to the words that Jesus has to say. And down the road come four men. And they are carrying their friend because they have heard that Jesus is not only a teacher but a healer. And their friend is so ill that they have to carry him on a pallet. Imagine their frustration when they get close to, and they see the crowd and they can't get through and they can't bring their friend to Jesus' feet so that Jesus can see his need. So they do something that's rather ingenious, I think. They climb up onto the roof of the house and they take apart the roof, removing some of the tiles. And then they lower the man, pallet and all, down through the hole in the roof to the feet of Jesus. This solution seems to me to be a sign of their faith. They will go to any length at all, to bring their friend and his need before Jesus. It's also a sign of their great love. They will do whatever it takes to bring their sick friend into Jesus' presence. Now, it's obvious what is needed. The man is ill. He needs to be healed. But Jesus' first words are not those of healing, but of forgiveness. It is not that the illness was caused by sin and so needs forgiving. Or at least I don't think so in this story. It is rather that this is a case where forgiveness will bring healing. The point to be made is that forgiveness brings the healing. Now, the Pharisees in the crowd do what Pharisees always do. They ask a question. They want to know by what authority Jesus forgives sin. Can't you just hear the challenge in the tone of that question? But the answer, of course, is that the authority of Jesus comes from God, and the authority to heal is God's. The God of creation desires that his children and the whole of the world be forgiven and healed and whole. And to come full circle, the necessary ingredient for this forgiveness, this healing, and this wholeness is faith. Now, let's look a little more closely at that man who was healed, who's still laying on the pallet, as far as we know. He's now forgiven, and he's healed, and he's whole. And it would be easy to think that he had only a passive part in all of this. After all, he was carried by his friends. He was forgiven and healed by Jesus. But the man himself has a most important and active part to play in all of this. Jesus said to him, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your house." Luke then writes, "Immediately, the man stood up, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God." Now, I think there are two very important words there, words that I want us all to hear. The first is immediately. It didn't take time. It happened immediately. And then the man, as he went to his home, glorified God. He knew where the healing had come from. He knew who he had to thank. The man had faith, enough faith to receive the healing of God. The man also had the faith to accept God's healing. He glorified God on his way home. So faith, forgiveness, healing, they all go together to bring wholeness, as necessary today as it has ever been. Father, forgive them. The prayer of Jesus from the cross was for that time, but much more for our time as well. In faith, we are called to hear God's forgiveness for us, to receive that forgiveness and to accept that forgiveness and the healing that it brings. But there's more. In the words of N.T. Wright, who is the Bishop of Durham, forgiveness is one of the most powerful things in the world. And when God's forgiveness is passed on by the grateful recipients, all sorts of new situations, all sorts of new possibilities open up. In the blessing of a forgiving God, we are called to live forgiven lives and to live forgiving lives as well.